The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBCSportsChicago.com. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by John Moon Mullen here at Halas Hall.
Pack a week.
It's Green Bay week. We made it. It feels like we've been out to sea for 9 months, and all of a sudden now we were approaching Martinique. The Bears get to practice on Wednesday, really start preparing in earnest. Moon, let's just start with this. What do you think is a realistic expectation for Khalil Mack on Sunday?
I'd be surprised if he doesn't play 90% of the snaps.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's a four-year veteran, guy who's started, played 95% of the snaps. The one thing that may give him a bit of a break is simply the rotation approach and the number of bodies they have. I don't know how many linebackers they'll keep healthy, keep active. Some of that may depend on health, but they have so many outside backers now that they can spot him, or they can give him a blow, you know, use him a little more sparingly, even give him more energy. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I would expect is he doesn't miss a snap in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
If this game is close, I think he's coming for number 12, and I don't think he's going to miss this opportunity.
So my barometer on this was the Rams last year. Aaron Donald signed a day before the season started. He didn't play in week one. Then in week two, after a full week of practice, he played about 66% of the Rams snaps, so two-thirds, and then was back up after week three to being his usual, playing, you know, 80-90% of the snaps. I think I would probably start with him playing about two-thirds of the snaps, Mac. Just because I don't know if the Bears know if he can take that load yet. And like you said, Moon, they do have some guys they can rotate in. Mm-hmm. You can rotate in Sam Acho. Maybe you can rotate in Aaron Lynch if he's available. Kylie Fitz mm-hmm. could maybe get on the field. There are certain guys you can rotate in, and the way that Fangio kind of does his defense, where there's a lot of different moving parts to it, whether they're in 3-4, they're in nickel, any of those things. So I think – but I think your point about the fourth quarter is 100% spot on.
I don't think he misses a snap.
You will have to physically restrain him from getting on the field for him to not play in the fourth quarter.
And I think that's actually part of the equation. How much will we see of him? There's a sense, I don't know about you, JJ. I thought, you know, I've seen a lot of players come and go. I really like the attitude here. There's an attitude. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a quieter Ray Lewis. He wears the same number as Ray, but. He's a man with a mission. He wants to show I'm worth this money. So the funny part, we heard, you know, Matt Nagy saying, you know, well, the players will start as who haven't played a lot, be able, you know, we're going to have to manage them. And they have to be honest with us. I don't think Khalil Mack's going to be out. I can play.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if he takes himself out that much. And from what Bear players, you were around the locker room today on Wednesday, they're already so impressed with this guy. Mm-hmm. So I think his character, but again, Aaron Donald's a big lineman. Again, different guys get
right.
So I don't know what he has been doing in the off season, but I think he will have been a man on a mission. Be very surprised. He knows what the NFL game takes. So I would be surprised at least your two thirds. And I would say maybe even more than that. And some of that may depend on the game,
mm-hmm.
you know, Bears ball control or something and keep the defense off the field longer and he gets refreshed. So there's other factors involved, but the Khalil Mack factor, you got to pull him, rope him and pull him off the field.
So I like this quote that he had when he was asked about, you know, learning the playbook, but, you know, how much of the playbook do you really need to know to get after the quarterback? And, you know, he said he obviously wants to know the whole playbook so he can know what everyone else is doing. This is kind of a, you know, it's a unit. It's not just him. But at the same time, he said, I want to know, you know, just a little bit I want to know and try to get Aaron on Sunday. So it's mm-hmm. sort of like this isn't going to hold him back from getting after Aaron Rodgers on Sunday.
No, and he arguably plays, I won't say a simple position, but that's his mission statement. You know,
go get the quarterback.
Sure, yeah, and I'm not even sure if, without going back into his, you know, like Von Miller or somebody, you go way back in his tape. I think Leonard Floyd is more apt to be used in coverage than Khalil Mack.
Even with the club.
You were right. In fact, maybe with the club, because you know, at least you can knock a pass down with a club. It's a little harder to grab a quarterback. Again, you know, we're getting into some arcane stuff with the quarterback. But this is what Khalil Mack does. And I think you can – let's say Roquan Smith. Maybe they use him only in nickel. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they'll spot duty him, give him a piece of the playbook. Khalil Mack's 80% of his playbook is find ball, hit ball.
Right.
So
I want to get into Roquan Smith in a bit, but first I want to play this. It's about 5 minutes. I sat down with Bobby Massey today, and this is funny. I walked over to his locker and said, "Hey, you got a minute?" And he just looks at me and he goes, "This is about Khalil Mack, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "All right, take a seat." So I want to play this conversation. I thought it was really interesting, just Bobby Massey's kind of view of the whole thing from Saturday to today. So this is me talking to Bobby Massey in the Bears locker room.
So what was your reaction when you found out Saturday?
What was your reaction? I probably had the same reaction you did.
I said holy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I rolled over to my wife and I said holy.
I wasn't expecting that.
How did you find out then?
Text messages through friends and other teammates. That's how I found out.
I mean, could you, just on some level, could you even believe that a guy like Khalil Mack was available, and then the fact that you guys went out and got him?
I knew everything that you knew up to the point that we signed him. You know, I known that the Raiders was looking to do something with him. Mm-hmm. So, I was surprised that we got him, but you know, it was a good thing we did. You know, we already had a great defense, and then him coming in just made them even better. And, I think that's pretty much it, man.
What kind of message does that send to this locker room, though, that your front office was so aggressive to go out and get that guy, give up 2 first-round draft picks to go get him?
I mean, that's just we're trying to make a push this year. Like I said, our defense is already great, and we had a lot of guys that can get home on the front seven. Mm-hmm. And just adding him is just going to free up everybody else because you can't block everybody.
Right.
And so, and with our secondary being locked down like it is, quarterback can only hold on to the ball for so long until he's going to get hit. It's great. The organization, they know what this team is capable of, and just add another piece of the puzzle. It just helps solidify it.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but did you ever go against him in the NFL?
No. I've never personally played against him.
Just when you are facing an elite edge guy like that, though, the amount of resources that it takes to commit to him in a game plan, whether it's, you know, a tackle, a tight end, a running back, you know, a tackle, a guard, a tight end, just what does that do for an offensive game plan when you have to commit so much to stopping one guy?
It changes the game plan because you got to get four sets of hands on him, or if not more. Mm-hmm. You have to game plan for him. A lot of Super Bowl, you see what happens if you don't game plan with Von Miller.
Right.
He can single-handedly wreck a whole game. Mm-hmm. So it's a smart thing to do is put extra guys out there for him. So.
So let's say he's on the left and you put extra guys on him, and now you're on the right. Hypothetically, you're the right tackle for the Packers, and you now have Leonard Floyd coming at you one-on-one.
You got to nut up, man. You got to nut up because you got extra guys over there helping to block one guy. The rest of the other four guys got to nut up. Just get it done.
I mean, can you imagine, too, with you guys, you got if you line up Mac and Hicks on the same side of the ball?
That's a dangerous side. Yeah. That's a dangerous side of the line. But, it's going to be fun to watch this year. It's going to be fun to watch.
I mean, you've seen this defense from last year growing now into training camp this year. You kind of said guys are starting to hit home a little more, even this training camp. So this defense already seemed to be on the path to being better than it was last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, what did you see from Floyd, Hicks, some of these guys in terms of their ability to get to the quarterback before Khalil even came in here?
I mean, they just worked in the offseason, man. You know, they got a nice arsenal of moves. Guys got quicker, stronger, and, you know, they just worked at their craft in the offseason. It's not just those two guys. I mean, we got at least four guys on the edge that can get home, and three on the interior that can get there too. So, I mean, these guys, they put the work in the offseason, and it showed.
I don't know how much, like, highlights you've watched of Khalil, but just watching him kind of briefly, his hand play seems just incredible. His ability to use his hands. As a tackle, when you have a guy who can do certain things to gain that leverage with his hands, what's sort of the counter to that?
I mean, your hands and your feet got to be exact, just as precise as his. I can sit here and try to break down how to block him, but at the end of the day, you know, once you get hit in the mouth, all that goes out the window. So, I mean, just try to keep him on your outside shoulder, and I haven't played against him, so right. I can't tell you how to block him.
Right.
So, yeah.
Awfully nice that he's on your side, though, right?
Yeah, it's good that he's on our team. Yeah, it's very good.
Just talking to these guys in the locker room, and I talked to Massey, I talked to Eric Cush about, you know, what does it do to have Khalil Mack on the field? And that line Massey had when I said, okay, if you commit all these resources to him on one side, but then now you're one-on-one with Leonard Floyd, and he is basically just like, nut up, you got to do it. And this is where the Bears defense can get dangerous, because you free up different guys who have that pass rushing edge to them to get these one-on-one situations and then win these one-on-one situations and get to Aaron Rodgers. You got to win him first, right?
Yeah, and interesting to look at the talent base, and this is, you know, funny. You think Khalil Mack, you know, did playoffs 1 year out of four in Oakland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wasn't much of a supporting cast. The defense wasn't really great. Not a lot of talent around him.
Right.
Comes here, and you could say, well, they don't have any any Pro Bowlers either. But with Mack, they will now have five number one draft choices starting on defense.
Yeah.
Between, you know, Fuller, Floyd, Mack,
Smith.
Yeah.
And Amukamara.
Five. So, again, not that they're all pro by any means, but there's some talent there. And it'd be interesting now. And sometimes the missing ingredient is a pass rusher. That is the one single thing that can disrupt everything, can make everybody better.
I think the thing to note about the Bears defense is that they have a lot of guys who are solid. You maybe don't have a Pro Bowler on this team, but you look around this defense, and it's hard to spot that weak link. Like, you know, maybe it's – if you say it's Jonathan Bullard as your defensive end, then that's not a bad weak link to have. And there are a lot of guys who are, like, low – maybe high floor, low ceiling type guys, where you know what you're getting out of Adrian Amos. You know what you're getting out of Nick Kwiatkowski until Roquan Smith takes over there. You know what you're getting out of Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara and these guys. And I think there's something to be said for that. The Raiders defense did not have that level of talent around Khalil Mack. And Khalil Mack isn't just going to walk into a defense and make the other 10 guys go from being bad players or just a guy to being good. But I think he can walk into a defense and make guys who already have established something as solid players, who have already established a defensive identity last year, he can then make them that much better.
Yeah, and I think he makes them a little more swagger. In fact, it's funny, you were talking to Bobby Massey. I was around with Kyle Long, and, you know, everybody feels it. There's a feeling, again, not to spend all our time talking about one guy, but there's such a ripple effect.
Yes.
And I can say there's not many guys. You know, Brian Cox once upon a time came in with that kind of aura about him. Didn't really deliver it. Whereas Khalil Mack, I'd be surprised if he doesn't. But, he is the rising tide that can lift a lot of boats here.
Well, let's just get this out of the way right now. If the Khalil Mack trade, if he doesn't work out in Chicago, Ryan Pace should not be criticized for making this trade retrospectively, because if you have an opportunity to go out and get an all-pro pass rusher, you do it, and you worry about the price later. If something were to happen, it would be unexpected if something happened with Khalil Mack. It's not like you could see signs of decline, like the White Sox signing Adam Dunn.
McPhee.
Right, Pernell McPhee, yeah, to use a football example instead of my baseball one. But yeah, I mean, you can see that it's not like there's a sign of decline in Khalil Mack. His play has been consistently elite for three straight years. So I just wanted to get that out of the way, because if this does happen, unexpectedly where Khalil Mack does not pan out, you go back and do this move
still
every
single
time.
Made the right call. And in fact, even, you know, like you say, offensive guys, as far as using Kyle Long, I talked with Kyle a while, he said better than Aaron Donald. And he's seen them both. I mean, and better than, he thinks better than Ray Lewis. And what he does. I mean, again, Ray's a presence, but but no, the funny part, not the funny part, but you're right. I think Ryan Pace can't be faulted for that. Now, if the quarterback doesn't work out,
he can be faulted for that.
He can be faulted. Yeah.
That sounds like a good transition, Moon.
I think it does. You want to talk about the quarterback?
Let's talk about the quarterback a little bit. You know, we had a chance to hear from Mitch Trubisky today. Tough to say there's really anything new coming out of that, just because, I mean, we've heard from Mitch quite a bit. And it's just like, okay, let's just get a game in now to see what he can do, because we've watched him ad nauseum in practice. We've watched him, you know, kind of take whatever he can in these practices and grow from them and have some good practices, some bad practices. It's now all about putting it together in a game. Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm really interested in seeing is that every team going into week one always has stuff that are unscouted looks. Mike McCarthy talked about that today, the Packers coach, about how 30 to 35% of your plays going into a week are unscouted, going into week one are unscouted. So you haven't put them on tape. But this is a new offense with essentially a new quarterback running it and all these new pieces around it. And one of the guys who was kind of a constant was Tariq Cohen, and we barely saw him during the preseason. I think there are going to be a lot of really interesting wrinkles in this game that the Packers will not have been able to scout. So they just now have to kind of stick to their defensive principles, but they're also dealing with a new defensive coordinator, so they're going to throw some stuff at the Bears that they haven't seen. So this is kind of an interesting chess match for Mitch Trubisky in his first start in the Matt Nagy era.
I don't think the only thing about that, and they're still playing a 3-4, though. They've got Mike Daniels. They're still playing Clay Matt there. A lot of those pieces are still in the same place and doing some of the same things. Mm-hmm. The Bears will be more of a problem that way, because – they're not running the same offense, and it's some of the same personnel, but actually it's not the same skill personnel for the most part. But I still think, you know, a lot of this, we talk about RPO, run pass options, all these new stuff that's coming in, it has to be executed well, or Mitch Trubisky, this is a bomb of a season.
Right.
And the one thing I'm harkening back to last year, he was unbelievable in the preseason. You know, 10 straight, first 10 passes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wasn't that good in the regular season. This year, he wasn't great. And we saw him in camp, but like 2 picks a day.
Yeah. But he got better as preseason went on.
But I think this should be held to a very high bar. You traded up to get the second pick. You traded up to get Carson Wentz here. And he better be that good.
I thought this is interesting. It went on Sports Talk Live on Monday. And David Kaplan kind of posed this. Does this take the pressure off Trubisky, or does it put it on him?
No.
And I think Cap's argument was that it's now Trubisky is more help around him, so the pressure is kind of off him to do everything. But I said, I think the pressure is on him even more now, because now you have this great defense. And kid, if you can't get it done with a defense that could be top five potentially, then it's even more of a failure.
I think sometimes we can split a hair on this, and I think Nagy even addressed it. I don't know that there's any more pressure or less. It's the same. Mitch Trubisky wants to be great.
Yeah,
he didn't suddenly want to be greater.
Right.
But I think, and I don't think there would be less pressure on him if he had bad people around him. That with, you know, the fact he could say, "Well, I had bad people." He's not the kind of guy to say, "I got a weak supporting cast."
Right.
He might try to do more with less. Now is the pressure. He's got Allen Robinson to throw to. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, Taylor Gabriel. Everything's better. Yep. So now he's back. Oh, I got to be good because everybody around.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think we can overthink that.
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
Because these guys are professional athletes who want to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if there's any more pressure on Trubisky than there already was when the organization traded up to get him.
So going into Lambeau Field, Trubisky did not play in that game last year where Mike Glennon had the comedy of turnovers. Packers won that. Was it 35-14?
Yeah,
it was bad. That was obviously the end of the Mike Glennon era. So this will be Trubisky's first trip to Lambeau Field. First time facing Aaron Rodgers, kind of a seminal moment perhaps for him in his career of, you know, this is a guy you've got to beat to get through the NFC North. this game's going to be fascinating. Just there are so many moving parts in this on the Bears' side that we just don't know how we're going to play out in a regular season game. We can kind of project and say, well, what we saw during the preseason was encouraging. You can just see the talent level has been raised from March until the Khalil Mack trade. But the Packers are still the Packers.
Number 12 still suiting up. And I think you really have to grade. I'm kind of writing a piece like this for a little later in the week on NBC Sports. You have to grade them on a curve. Not are they good or bad. Mm-hmm. Did they get better vis-a-vis the other teams? So right. Have they closed the gap on the Packers? I think last year with Mike Glennon, I think we probably might have picked them a two-touchdown underdog.
Yeah.
This year I wouldn't see that. Because I do think they've closed the gap. I think the Packers, you know, losing Jordy Nelson, they get Jimmy Graham. This is better. That's not better. But the Bears, I think, improved themselves in a lot of places. So I do see the gap narrowing between them and the Packers. I don't think they're going to beat the Packers in Green Bay, but they have the weapons that, if not this year, they should beat them pretty soon up in Green Bay.
Okay, so you just threw it out there, your prediction that the Bears will not beat the Packers in week one.
No, I think a 2017 game. I think it's a field goal. I don't think it's going to be a two-touchdown or worse game like it was with Michael Ennis.
So I came back to this number on it. I think the Packers win, but I think I'm going 21-20. I think this is a real close game where the Bears can, you know, make some noise. I think it'll be back and forth all game. But, look, until Aaron Rodgers is dethroned by Matt Nagy, Aaron Rodgers is still the best quarterback in this division.
Until you knock the king off the throne, exactly. He's still the king.
So I know the Bears beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers back, it was 2015 on Thanksgiving, and that didn't really, you know, equate to a whole lot except a nice win for John Fox. But I just think in this case right now, Aaron Rodgers is still the king of this division. And even though they didn't make the playoffs last year, you've got to beat it. This division goes through Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers is still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And if he's got the ball in his hands late in the game, I'm taking the Packers.
Yeah, all the Bears fans can hope for is that Khalil Mack has Aaron Rodgers in his hands.
Yes.
So I think that's, you know, the difference. I'm with you. I think it will be a close game. I wouldn't quibble with that. A 21-20, a one-point game. Mm-hmm. You know, Green Bay even pulling it out with a late score or something like that. But you know, I don't think it's going to be high scoring like it has been. I think we talked earlier about the defense. They have enough pieces to be good, and then a couple pieces could be really good.
Yeah,
which they haven't had. Again, like you talked, they've got a lot of solid guys, and now you've got a couple of he could be exceptional. He could be exceptional, and they haven't had exceptional since Brian Urlacher left.
Here's kind of where I see this game on like a sliding scale. I don't see a Packers blowout win happening. I do see a Packers narrow win happening. I wouldn't be surprised if a Bears narrow win happens. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears came in and they won by 7 or 10 points.
That would shock me.
I honestly would not be surprised just because there still is so much unknown about this offense. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bears came in and they fired on all cylinders from the first snap of the game. And we're talking about like a 27-17 Bears win. I would not be surprised, but I would be shocked if they won like 42-7. But I think I think it's more likely for me that the Bears win this game handily than the Packers win.
Hmm.
And that's just sort of this gut feeling that I have about this game that I still think the Packers win. I still think that is the most probable outcome. But an outcome on the other side with the Bears winning by a touchdown or more would not surprise me in this game.
Yeah, that one would shock me. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Allen Robinson do anything. I haven't seen Kevin White do anything. I really haven't seen Taylor Gabriel be even as good as Kendall Wright, and you know that would take a lot. I think it would light the city. I think that, you know, not just because it's the Packers, but seeing them score points. If the Bears score 24 points on the Packers, that's a big deal. Even if they lose 30-24,
right?
But again, what do people really want to see? Do you really want to see Aaron Rodgers finally shut the lead? Let's hold them to 14 points or something. Even if we lose 14-10, or do you want to see an offense put 28 points on the Packers?
I think you want to see the offense do it. Okay. That's what we've been building toward for the last 8 months. I think if the Bears defense were to give up a bunch of points to Aaron Rodgers, I don't think I hope no one would be, you know, the sky is falling because it's Aaron Rodgers. But I think that if this offense comes out and they can only manage 10 points, Then, I mean, then we're going to hear, well, he should have played the starters in the third preseason game.
And, we said it would take time. Right. I don't want to hear that. This is the NFL.
Right.
And, you know, quick turnaround should happen. So, yeah, I think, getting back to your thought about the pressure on Trubisky, I think there's a lot. And I don't think it's any more or less because of, it's there to begin with. He's the again, I'll have a piece about, is he the face of the franchise?
Yeah.
Well, start now, son.
Okay, last question for you. Let's say the Bears win 35-17. Who is running for mayor? Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky, Vic Fangio, or Khalil Mack?
That'll just be a palace coup, Nagy in a walk.
Or does Ryan Pace walk in and say, you know what, Rom's done, see, 2019, I'm running for mayor.
Yeah, I'm not even sure there'll be an election. I mean, there'll just be...
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
A parade down Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, and if that happens, it means so many of the things that had to happen, happened.
Right.
Meaning the quarterback did take a big step. Khalil Mack was as good as advertised, made everybody else better. All of a sudden, Kyle Fuller's got two picks, and Prince Amukamara has one.
Yep.
One of his 10, maybe.
It's going to be a fun week on Moon. After the game, be sure to tune in to the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago. We've got Lawrence Holmes, Matt Forte, Lance Briggs, and Alex Brown breaking it down. What a crew we got for that.
And guys who know that they've played the Packers.
Yeah.
They played Aaron Rodgers. They will have a great perspective on whatever happens, good or bad, whether they take down Rodgers and the Packers down. I don't want to see Raheem hurt. It changes the season. You want to beat the best.
Yeah.
And again, not as a fan here, but I think those guys will have a great perspective on whatever happens with number 12 and the rest of this team.
And then Moon and I, you can follow all of our coverage here from House Hall this week leading up to the Packers game. And then we'll be back with you next week on Wednesday for the next edition of the Under Center podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.